having our fellowship. If you're thinking, oh, I didn't know anything about it, please come. Don't feel awkward. We're messy eaters, too. I mean, first thing that's going to happen when I get home is this shirt's going to come off and get straight, because I know what's, you know, my wife can't take me anywhere. But that's okay. We have plenty of food, and we'd love to get a chance to know some of you a little better. It's nice to see some new faces out there. And nice to see some of the old faces, too, and you know who you are. No, I'm one of them. I have to admit, isn't it sad that they tell us that, psychologists tell us that our brains actually think of us about 15 years younger than what we actually are? And I have to keep reminding myself, we're going to have a daughter that next year will turn 39, and I'm going, how can that be? I'm still 35. And so thank God for a little bit of delusional, too, that keeps us going until you go do something and you're thinking, oh, I can still do that. And how many of you are thankful for those muscles like Asper cream and stuff, because you're going, I can still do that, but boy, does it really hurt for about the next 3 days. So, but Thanksgiving, and you know, this time of year, it's natural to think about it, but it's something that really is important. I mean, we work on instilling that into our children, don't we? You know, somebody does, you know, at church, I don't know, I'm not sure who it is in this church. Maybe Don, I don't know. You always have candy in your pocket, don't you? There's always that one person that the kids know, oh, I can go up. So when they give you something, we had to teach our own children that, you know, make sure and say thankful. And boy, you know, when you hear about it sometimes, I know when we got married and, you know, going through and doing all the thank you notes for the gifts, well, somewhere there was the one person that you shouldn't have missed. Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. Somewhere that gift didn't get recorded, and boy, Kelly's mom heard about it in about 3 months. This is every bit of thank you. You know, so it's somewhat expected, but thankfulness is a good quality for us to build into our lives, because the truth is no one is truly an island. We all depend on others. And I like to think about people that talk about, well, how can you have faith in a God you can't see? And I said, do you get it on an airplane? How many times do you see the pilot? You're getting in something that's been built by people that's, you know, hundreds, I don't know how much the plane weighs, Wayne, but you know what I'm saying. Here's this big hunk of metal that supposedly is going to fly up in the air, and the people that are up there doing all the controls, I've never met them, I don't know them, and yet I put my faith in the airlines that they've hired good pilots and good mechanics and bought good planes to get me where I'm going. And here I am, cruising altitude of 33,000 feet. I'm thinking, that's a big drop, you know. But most people don't think that's an act of faith, folks. So why is it any bigger jump to say, I believe in a God whom I cannot see, but who reveals himself to us through creation, by the work of his Spirit, by sending Jesus to show us exactly what he's like? My faith is no bigger leap than you getting on an airplane. I don't know, maybe any of you out there do that thing, who's the pilot today, and you know, what's that? You know, you just get on the plane. So, well, I have to laugh. Hazel and Bennett, if you've not been here before, I am known for my bad dad jokes. And they gave me some and told me, don't ever say these in the church. But I beat them to the punch. I found some things because these are courtesy of Good Housekeeping. So I've got a few of these fun things because I'm thankful for humor. That God made us with the ability to see the lighter side of things at times, because if everything was doom and gloom, where would we be? So here's some Thanksgiving riddles for you. What did the mother turkey say to her disobedient children? If your father could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy. What did the turkey say to the computer? Google, Google, Google. What sound does a limping turkey make? Wobble, wobble, wobble. Thank you. Why can't you take a turkey to church? They use foul language. All right. Enough of those already. But there you go. You've been warned. This is me. I love this kind of stuff. Now, just kind of a question. Did you know, and you know, you find fun stuff when you Google things and look up stuff, that frozen TV dinners, how many of you have eaten a frozen TV dinner? That they came about as a result of Thanksgiving. Swanson and Sons, years ago, overestimated how much turkey would be consumed. They ended up with 260 tons of leftover meat. That's a lot of turkey. So they got creative and invented prepackaged frozen meals. They had to do something with it, right? So next time you go to and find a frozen meal, prepackaged frozen meal, thank a turkey. Because that's there. Now, it is interesting that being thankful or grateful has been found to be beneficial. And not just in the spiritual realm, when we say God teaches us to be thankful and grateful for a reason, even the secular world recognizes it. A Harvard University site had an article titled, "Giving Thanks Can Make You Happier." And here's a portion of that article. Research, and they say, and common sense, suggests that one aspect of the Thanksgiving season can actually lift the spirits, and it's built right into the holiday, being grateful. The word grateful is derived from the Latin word gratia, which means grace, graciousness, or gratefulness, depending on the context. And in some ways, gratitude encompasses all of these meanings. Gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. In the process, people usually recognize that the source of that goodness lies at least partially outside of themselves. As a result, being grateful also helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals, whether to other people, nature, or a higher power. In positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. So even in the secular world, there's that recognition that developing an attitude of gratitude is good for us. Of course, as people of God, we've known that for a long time. And that gratitude benefits us. You know, the scripture states in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, this one's not up on the screen, but it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for all who belong to Christ Jesus." And people go, well, how do you learn to be thankful in all circumstances? Because you're joyful at what God has done for you. You keep talking to God about, God, how are you trying to work in my life and through my life? You know, sometimes the things we go through are meant to build us up. Go back, read Romans chapter 5, giving you a lot of homework assignments. But that we glory in our adversities because we know that they work in our lives to build a godly character, if we will allow them to. But sometimes we go through rough patches so that we're where we need to be for God to use us to touch the lives of others. Go back and read the story of Joseph in Genesis. Remember? His brothers didn't like him, thought about killing him, decided, we don't make any money if we do that. So they sold him as a slave. He goes through all that stuff in Egypt. And then when the timing was right, God raised him up to be second in command, so that many lives were saved when the famine became so severe. And after Dad passed away, they're thinking, now Joseph's going to hold a grudge. There's going to be bitterness, and he's going to get us, so we need to, you know. But his response was this: what you intended for evil, God and worked for good to the saving of many lives. So I'm not saying that, oh, yay, something bad happened to me today. You know, not that weird sort of way, but there's that acknowledgement. God, somehow, you do work all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, you're either trying to work something in me, as you're changing my heart, helping me become more like Jesus, or you're going to use these circumstances so that I have a chance to be a blessing and share your grace and your story with someone else. It is, and that's why gratitude is so important. But we do struggle when life is tough. And at times it can be hard to find things to be thankful for. Here's a short video of a man who's in that circumstance.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
Okay, I'll be the first one to admit there's a little bit of ouch there, isn't there? Today I just want to quickly take us through some verses that speak of being thankful or grateful to help us be reminded of things we should be thankful for. And as we start this, we're going to focus on New Testament passages, but it's not just a New Testament thing. There are times that if you're feeling low, go to the Psalms, because the Psalms are so much an expression of David's heart and the other writers of the Psalms, that you'll find there probably an expression to God. I mean, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. But there's so many things that talk about, you know, give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. So this next slide here has just a few of those things that it talks about, you know, that we can give thanks to the Lord for. I think it, I want to say Psalm 136, but I may be wrong here. But the whole psalm is, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. He did this for the people of Israel. His love endures forever. Those reminders. These are just a few of the things when you read through the Psalms. For his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds, for salvation. that he is the God of gods, that he is the Lord of lords, that he's the God of heaven, that he answers prayer, that he is good. Those things help us when Satan wants to cloud our mind. You know, you go back to the original temptation. What did Satan try to do? Did God really say? No, God's holding out on you. So we need to be reminded, no, God does those things that are for our good. And we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school class, that there are times that, you know, we're like little children. I don't want to go to bed now. But you need to go to bed, honey. I don't want to go to bed. You don't love me. Maybe none of you have had those conversations with children. You know, why do we want them to go to bed? So we can watch what we want on the TV and not have to watch Tangled for the 40th time this week. Granddaughter, every day, Tangled. But no, that's not why. Well, maybe that's not wholly why. We know that children, and the younger the child, the more rest they need. It's for their good. And how many times does God work in our life and we're like that little 2 or 3 year old? God, I don't want this. God, I don't want this. God, do it my way. Not that I've ever been guilty of that. No. Thankfulness says, okay, God, I may not understand, I may not know just what you're working or how you're doing, but I trust you to be a good father from whom every good and perfect gift comes. God, somehow you're going to work this for good in my life, or use these circumstances to work good in someone else's life. Just those things. That's from the Psalms. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just this one passage. We could spend the rest of the day and I could quit here. And you're probably thinking, yes, I wish he would. But we're not quite ready to go downstairs yet. But see, think of this. Peace with God. We have peace with God. You know, I think sometimes we miss the value of that. You know, John talks about how perfect love casts out fear. It's a wonderful thing to know, and I have experienced it myself, that when the day comes, and it will come for all of us unless the trumpet sounds and we are changed in that moment in the twinkling of an eye, the day is going to come when hopefully family members and friends gather and walk by our caskets. But to know when that day comes, when we breathe our last breath, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, that I do not have to fear standing in God's presence because I have been declared not guilty because of my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me, and that I get to be forever in the presence of the Lord. That's part of the hope we have in what we believe is the rapture of the church, when he's going to come back for his church, his bride, and take us out of this world to finish his work of salvation and bring it to completion. Is that, when you read that again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at the end of that it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. That when you breathe your last here, that's not the end. A lot of people wish it were so. I'm sorry, you can't get that from reading Scripture. Well, it's just stuff that people wrote. Yeah, wrote under the anointing of the Spirit. Well, how do you believe that? Because I believe that God reveals himself to us because he is the creator of this world and the creator of us, and we're created in his image, and his desire is for us to know him as a father and to be a part of our lives, not only in this world, but forever and ever. And I don't... People, well, what are we going to do? I don't really know, but you know, we're going to be up there more than just playing harps and singing all day. It says we're going to rule and reign with Christ, so we're going to have stuff to do. But we're not going to do it in the fallenness of this world anymore. But God said he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is what the peace of God gives us, that when that day comes, I know I can stand before him, not in my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Go back and read another assignment. Go back and read Philippians chapter 3, that I may be found in him and in his righteousness, being conformed to his death, that so he might somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. Friends, that peace will mean so much to us. I've experienced twice in my life. Back when I was a college student, a friend of mine, we were looking at trying to launch a ministry to homeless people, and we'd been down and looking at the possibility of maybe being able to use a building in the downtown area to do that, and we hit a slick spot on the road. If you've ever been in Springfield, there's a huge overpass that goes over the railroad yard there, and we were going over that, hit a slick spot, creamed off this wall, and we're headed straight into the retaining wall on the side. And in my brain, I saw the car flipping over and us falling. I don't know how many feet, probably 40, 50 feet. I don't know. It's a long way down. And, you know, squished like the bug. And the amazing thing was, I was not terrified. That peace of God so came over me that it says, and I mean, it took like 2 seconds or maybe a second for the car, you know, it went really fast, but it's like, you know, your eye, not even my life didn't really flash before my eyes. What filled my heart was that peace and presence of God. It says, if I die today, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. And it's one of the most profound feelings I personally have ever experienced. When I was 16, my mom ended up with pneumonia, double pneumonia in the hospital. Couldn't talk. And I'm not sure why. I guess they were maybe only letting one of us back in the room. But, I mean, it's my mom. I mean, she was quite a bit, she was 60. I was a late baby. But as I'm there and praying for my mom, God's presence filled that room. And to this day, I still remember that feeling. You may be going, oh, this is just weird. It's my experience. But I thought somebody had walked in. I thought maybe my brother had walked in and rested his hands on my shoulders. But when I looked around to say something, well, there was someone there, but not someone you could see. And just that deep sense and presence of God that let me be at peace knowing that God was aware and was in this situation and was with me. The peace of God. That worship with gratitude in spirit and in truth that talks about their teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thank you, Bev, and the kids are downstairs and others that have helped out during the sabbatical and leading worship. But I love how worship brings us into the presence of God. I love that new song. A couple of the verses are a little hard to get the words in just right. But I thank the Master. I thank the Savior because he changed my heart. He gave me a new name. He set me free. As we sing, it's a wonderful... It's hard for me sometimes because so often things are said or things are done and I just want to start singing one of the songs I know. Some of the old hymns that we used to sing a whole lot, most of them, the first verse and chorus are ingrained. Get past the first verse and I'm in trouble anymore. But, you know, we talked about now I can see. I was once was blind, but now can see. Even that video, the thought that came to my mind is it... when it talked about the things, you know, help me, I'm struggling, Lord. I can see, I can read. But then I thought about Fanny Crosby. Do you know her story? Old hymn writer. She was blind. I don't remember if she was born blind or became blind at a very young age. But you open up a hymnal and look through some of those, and so many of the songs are from her. And she talks about that day when she gets to see Christ from a woman who's basically been blind her whole life. and yet is thankful and praising God. One of these days, that blindness is going away and I shall see him face to face. Hallelujah. That worship with gratitude for what God has done for us. And then that last verse about living with purpose. All that we do, all that we say, be done with gratitude to God. I am so thankful that this teaches us and that we have the understanding from Scripture that all we do can make a difference for eternity. That we're not just here wandering around, that I'm not just a waste of breath. God created me, and he created me good. And yes, I've sinned, and that image has been marred, but he is working in me to change that. He's given me a new heart. He's given me a new name. I'm now a child of God, and that I'm here for a purpose. It's so sad when you hear one of the epidemics that they're talking about in our day and age, especially among young people, they have no hope. Because they think they're useless, that they're not worth anything, that they're just junk. They've been taught all their life that they're expendable and thrown away and that they don't matter. That's a lie from the pit. Because every single one of us is made and created in the image of God, and God has a purpose and a plan for our life. That doesn't mean that someday you're going to stand up and preach to thousands of people in some soccer stadium in a foreign country. But I tell you what, it's amazing to me how many funerals I go to and then go to the funeral dinner and you hear the stories of, I remember, Sister Jones. Whenever, anytime she kept casseroles in her freezer, anytime she heard when somebody was sick, she came over and brought them a casserole to help out. And you're thinking, well, that's just, but I'll tell you what, if you're sick and miserable, and, especially if it's the wife, how many know the kids don't eat too good unless you order takeout? When the wife's sick, when mom's sick, people don't tend to eat so well in most families. So, but just something, even if it's just that thing of, I'm thinking about you, we're praying for you, here's a little something to help you through this rough patch. Most of us aren't going to have the big stories, but hallelujah. Bloom where God has planted you. I know that's a little catchphrase, but there's some truth to it. You're here because this is where God wants you to be. So figure out, God, why am I here? You may never get a plaque. You may never get your name mentioned in the bulletin or from the pulpit. But I tell you what, thank God for the gift. This is what he called me to do, was proclaim his word. But I tell you what, I can't be everywhere. This last 6 weeks proved that. And I love hearing the stories of, find out that, some so-and-so is going through a bad time, and just somebody in the church, wasn't planned, just because they're a believer and they care. They went and they ministered God's love and grace or helped out in a situation. Folks, that's what it's about. Whatever we do, understanding God can use that all for his purpose and that it can make a difference for eternity. Hallelujah. All right. A couple more passages here. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Thank God for prayer. Because no matter what the circumstance, we can always pray. And thank God for brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because there's been times in my life where it's like, I didn't know what to pray. Or I just felt like I couldn't pray. But I knew others were praying for me. And Brother Ford, I was Bible college student at the time and was hanging out with my pastor during the summer, Pastor Freddie. And he went to visit Brother and Sister Ford. They're probably my age, but when you're 20 to 60 is like ancient. But as we're walking up towards the house, Brother Ford's sitting there on the front porch, and he looked at Freddie and he said, "I was just talking to somebody about you," and had a little smile on his face. And as we were leaving, you know, Freddie almost burst out in tears, but he was teary-eyed because he'd been having a rough week. And he went there because he needed to go, you know, but he left there encouraged because he knew somebody was praying for him. Never discount prayer. That it's not just asking for stuff, but spending that time with God. Biggest problem we often have in prayer is we haven't learned how to be quiet and listen. Jesus, I want this, 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 and this. Please do that. Please bless so-and-so. Thank you. Amen. And we're out the door. Reality, it's where we're at. Well, I hope you're not there. It's where a lot of us are at. But prayer is talking with God. How often do we take the time, you know, and how many of you read as you're reading your Bible and it's like, and God talked to this person, and, you know, Kelly was just mentioning the other day, she'd been reading through Acts with Ananias. You know, God speaks to him and says, "Hey, I need you to go talk to this guy Saul and give him a message for me." He goes, "God, are you really sure about this? You know, this is the dude that's been hauling believers off into prison and killing believers, and you want me to go talk to him?" Yep. And he obeyed. And guess what? The apostle Saul became the apostle Paul. The apostle to the Gentiles. That's why we're sitting here today. So prayer, talking with God, listening. Next passage, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is kind of another one of those ouch ones. It's wonderful, but sometimes it's a little harder to practice. It says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thank God. Again, we have that opportunity. You know, I have not yet arrived fully at this passage yet. There are some days I do really good, and then there are other days that my wife has to remind me. And what does the Bible say? Don't be anxious about anything. So have you prayed about it? Not as much as I need to, obviously. but I love the second, the promise that goes with it, and the peace of God. See, it's there again, which transcends all understanding. How do you explain to someone that does not know our Heavenly Father how you can be at peace about something when everybody else is just going nuts about it and worried about it? Well, why aren't you worried about it? You should be worried about it. Everybody else is worried about it. Well, no, because I've talked to God about it. And I know it's in His hands. Isn't that tough? But that's what we can do. Because the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, you know, AGWM, our World Missions thing, sends out Bridge the Gap prayer requests. And some of them have been for, we have brothers and sisters in this world that some of that stuff that video talked about, they don't have shelter. They are going hungry. They're suffering because they're believers in Christ. They don't have clean water to drink. And some are being persecuted for their faith, even to the point of death. But ultimately, you think about it, when you have that peace with God, that assurance in your heart, that I know, you know, the old expression is, I know that I know that I know. I mean, really, what's the worst thing he can do for us? Send us to heaven earlier than we intended? Take our stuff? Guess what? One of these days it's going to get burned up. I don't care what your 401k says or how big of a house or how much junk you've got. One of these days, guess what? It ain't going to be there. Your kids are already probably trying to figure out, where are we going to get rid of all this junk when they die? Come on, seriously. I've been to too many estate sales and too many garage sales with the porcelain cats. Nobody wants them. Well, sorry. And just one, I actually went to one and it's like, "Please, somebody, we'll give these to you. We don't know what to do with these." she loved them, and we can't stand them. And anyway, what's the worst thing somebody can do to us? Send us to heaven early. Well, not really early, because Jesus knows. Peace with God that transcends all understanding. My mind went to the story of when the disciples are in the boat with Jesus and the storm's going. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? What did he say? Oh, ye of little faith. And then, interesting, the Greek word, I think it gets translated be at peace or be still. The word in Greek is be muzzled. Like you'd muzzle a horse. Be muzzled. And the winds quit, and the waves were still, and they looked at one another. So, what kind of a man is this that commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey? That's our Jesus. That's why we can have peace with God. God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, be muzzled. But you know, sometimes he takes us through the storm. Last verse. It's getting harder to preach because I'm smelling the food up here. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We have hope. We will receive what God has promised us. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Jesus is that rock. Go back and read Daniel chapter 2. That's carved from the mountain without hands. It grows and smashes the feet of the idol. And his will be a kingdom that shall never end and never be conquered. Go back, read the Christmas story. What was the promise to Mary? He shall sit upon the throne of his father David forever and forever. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us be thankful. And our security is this: our God is greater. They can kill the body, but they cannot touch the soul. You know, we love to read the stories about, you know, the three, I don't know why we call them children, they were young men, but the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Oh, wasn't that amazing? I'm thinking, yeah, you want to be to that place where you're saying no to the most powerful man on earth, and he says, build that fire seven times hotter than it's ever been, and throw them in. You get one last chance, you worship this idol, and I won't do it. And they're saying, no, our God is faithful, and he is able, but even if he isn't, we want you to know he is still God and we will still be faithful to him. Our God is greater. Of course, if you know the end of that story, they throw three in, but they see four in there, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. To help us practice gratitude, there's two things that I thought about, and this is not an original idea. It was from a story I once read. There are a bunch of sticky note pads back there, or maybe you've got one at home. They're there if you need it. But let me encourage you to do this. We have very short memories. If you don't believe that, ask yourself, what did I eat for breakfast this morning? Bowl cereal in my case. But it's easy for us, especially when life is tough and we're going through a storm. God, God, I'm struggling. What do I have to be thankful for? Take a sticky note, put a pen by it, get a little box or a jar or something. And at least once a week for this next year, think of something during the week, hopefully on the day that it happens, put a little date up there. This is what I'm thankful for. God, this is what God did for me. You know, there was a bad accident that I missed. I got a raise at work. My grandchild got better. Whatever it is, just write those little notes. Just doesn't have to be a whole long epic or a big chapter, but just something that you'll go, oh yeah, that's what that, put it in the box. And then during the year, if you're struggling, pull it out and read it. Or if nothing else, next Thanksgiving, pull it out and just take some time, 10, 15 minutes, that probably is all it'll take. Oh yeah, I remember now, this is what was going on. And God saw us through this, that little remembrance notes. So there's a pad there if you need it. Find a little box. Do that at least once a week. Again, include the date because our memories aren't that good. Now, the other thing that may sound weird is I want you to take your phones out. You don't already have them out checking your Facebook feed. Some of you do that, I know. I've sat in church behind other people. You know, we're out there, or hopefully you're not playing a game. Hopefully I'm not that boring. But, you know, that's what happens, right? Now, I want you to think of one person. Hopefully they're maybe already on your message list or in your phone, that you can think of, I am thankful for this person in my life. Either because of just who they are, you know, thanks mom for being mom. Or maybe it's somebody, a friend that, you know, came over and helped you out with a project when you're thinking, boy, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. Think of one person right now that you're thankful for and go ahead and send them a short text message. Hey, just thinking about you, thanks. I'm thanking God that you're a part of my life, or thanking God for how you've been a blessing to me. Okay, we're going to listen to a song while you're doing this, so you got about 3 minutes. For those of us who are slow texters, those of you who can use both thumbs, you'll be fine. Those of us who still hunt and peck, you may need the whole song.
Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. You today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. And gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives. We want to say thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we do thank you this day for every blessing. May we truly be grateful. And thank you, Lord, that good times or bad, you work those for our good. And thank you, Lord, that we have a chance to make a difference for eternity in the lives of others as we interact with one another. That's why you put us together as the body of Christ. Why you don't expect us to try and live this Christian life on our own. And so, Lord, today I am thankful for this church, this community of believers, as we work together to make your name known, to see you work in our lives and in the lives of others through us. And Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together and this time of fellowship, of our Thanksgiving fellowship, Lord. May you bless this food as we partake of it and bless that time together. May we leave this place this day grateful for all that you do and for one another. I give you praise for this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for being here today. Again, encourage you. Don't run off. Come join us. There's plenty of food. We're just going to hang out and enjoy some good food and some good company. God bless you.